So just like going forward, mapping the next week or so. So tonight and Friday, we'll do the two Shara topics we had left. One was the Kinyan that we started last week, and then the question of the Gemara Din question, like at what point can the judges go back and say, we're not going to adjudicate this, we want you to compromise. So that'll be Friday, and then from there, we will skip to Daf Ches. The next topic in the Gemara, it's a real running discussion, but the good news is that it kind of breaks up conveniently for us. The whole discussion starts with the two dots on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, and then you see Tosos have a lot of fun. So the Gemara gets short, and it will run to somewhere around Daf Yud. But we'll do it in pieces. The Gemara is talking about Mosi Shemra, right? Mosi Shemra being the case of the husband who claims his wife was not a virgin when they got married, and then it turns out that he lied, so he has to pay her a lot of money. And there was a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim whether you needed 3 or 23 judges for that case. So that's going to kick off a bunch of issues. A lot of really famous discussions about Eidos are going to come up here. So this will be fun. And I'll send out Mar Makomos over the weekend. But already, if you're done with this stuff, then you could just start with the Gemara. The way the Gemara works, the Gemara is just going to ask a question, like, what are Meir and the Chachamim arguing about? Why are they arguing whether you need 3 or 23 judges? And then the Gemara is going to give 7 different answers. and, like, the first couple of answers have to do with Mosi Shemra, and then after that, each answer is just another, oh, they're arguing about this huge topic in Hilchos Eidos. No, they're arguing about this huge topic in Hilchos Eidos. So that's why it's, like, each stage is a nice way to, like, we could just talk about each one of the issues. It's actually pretty convenient. And in that way, the Gemara will go on for a while. So you could just... Ah, here it is. It goes until Tesimah Beis. So the discussion of the Gemara, which we will break up, but the Gemara goes from the two dots on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph to smack in the middle of Tesimah Beis, the line of Be'ukce Te'ini. So now let's get back to our topic at hand, right? So on Wednesday night, we tackled, or tried to tackle at least, the Tosfos dealing with the question of Kinyan, right? And hopefully you guys got some clarity, although I would totally understand if not. knowing smiles. Okay, so we'll just try to recap what they had to say, what the issues were in the Gemara, and then we'll kind of jump off of there to the machloksin that we're going to cover tonight. So the original problem, right, that everyone's going to have to deal with comes from the Gemara itself, because the Gemara doesn't seem so coherent. Back on Vav, right, that's our Amud for tonight, Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara had brought 3 different positions as to how many judges we require for Peshara, right? Do we require 1 judge, 2 judges, or do we require 3 judges? 3 judges, obviously, is what you have in regular Dini Mamonos, in regular cases of adjudication. The whole discussion of Peshara started because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that he thinks that that Peshara is better, you know, Yafe Kacha Peshara Mikacha Din, because Peshara only needs 2. I'm just going to close the door for a second.
Oh,
yeah. While Din needs 3. Okay. Yeah. I feel like having an open door policy. Yeah, right. So then the Gemara, right, at the bottom of Vav, after we've presented all the opinions, the Gemara has Rav Amar Rav Acha Braid Rav Ika, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 skinny lines up from the bottom. Right, so Amar Rav Acha Braid Rav Ika, Vitema Rav Yemar Bar Shalmaya, Manda Amar Trei Afilu Chad Nami, right? The physician who thinks that you require 2 judges for Pshara thinks that you really could get away with even 1. V'haydik amar trei ki heichi delehavi alei sahadi. So why did they want two judges? They thought you could really get away with one, because they want you to be able to serve as witnesses. And what are they going to have to serve as witnesses for? So the Gemara doesn't tell you black on white what they're being witnesses to, but you can infer it from the next line in the Gemara, because now Rav Ashi jumps in, and Rav Ashi is going to be our main character for this evening. And Rav Ashi says, Shma mina pshara ina tzricha kinyan. We learn that pshara does not require a kinyan. The Yisla kadaitech tzricha kinyan. Lamanda amar tzricha tlasa lamali tesagi betray. Because after all, if Pshara acquired a Kenyan, why on earth would you need three judges? You should only need two, and those two judges would serve as the witnesses to the Kenyan. So first of all, so now you understand what Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika was talking about. He said that the position that requires two judges for Pshara really only needs one. However, what are they going to serve as witnesses for? They will serve as witnesses to this Kenyan that you're going to do when you affect the Pshara, right? Gemara seems to be taking for granted at this stage that Pshara requires a Kenyan. Then Rav Ashi jumps in. He says, well, since there's one opinion that you require three judges for Pshara, so it must be that Pshara does need a Kenyan. Because if Pshara needed a Kenyan, everybody should agree that you only need two people. Why would you need three? And then the Gemara strangely says, right, all of a sudden, Velchasa Pshara tzricha kinyan, right? The final law is that Pshara does require a kinyan, without giving any reason as to why that's the case. It seems like the Gemara is rejecting Rav Ashi without telling us why, which is strange. So let's get into this a little bit. So the Gemara, right, is assuming, right, what's Rav Ashi's reasoning off the bat? Right, you have a position that you require three judges for Pshara. If you require three judges for Pshara, that sounds like we're just comparing Pshara to Din, right? In fact, that's exactly what the Gemara said, Makshinun Pshara Ladin. So why would Rav Ashi assume as self-evident that if you had two judges, if you had two people witnessing this Kenyan being done, that would be just as effective? You'd no longer require three judges for your Pshara. Like, what do you mean? Three people is a court. Right, we've been talking about Pshara being, an integrated part of Din. So then I would understand, well, if Pshara is a real part of Din, that's why you don't have the problems of going outside of Halacha, etc. So I should need three judges, so I have a court. So why having two people witness this Kenyan they do beforehand? Why should that make any difference? That's not so clear. So let's look at Rashi. Right? Rashi gives you the what seems to be the simplest understanding. This is the second to last one. Do you want to take it? Betray velikni mine?
A voice is not.
Okay.
I'm
no problem. Fine, so Lisa, do you want to take it?
Yeah.
Tisagi betray?
Yeah. Tikibanti kane mine, lama li beti. Lotehe, ala matana ba'alma. So since there is a Kenyan, then why do you need a Beitin? Like, wouldn't it just be a Matana Da'alma then? If you have Kenyan, then there's no point of it being within Beitin at all.
Right. Because even though one party is losing out, right? One party is supposed to get $100 and instead is getting $50. But what the Kenyan did was I hereby accept what's gonna happen. So why did we require three judges? Says Rashi. Why would you require three? Right, to compensate. Right, where in the absence of a kinyan, in the absence of the parties, agreeing to the case, then we would demand to have a strong bezdin. But in the absence of that strong bezdin, or if you have this kinyan, then that strong bezdin is not necessary.
Right.
Okay, well, the reasoning seems pretty sound, right? If we're viewing the kinyan as telling me, right, how does Pshara work if Pshara is outside of Halacha? Because of the acceptance of the Baalei Din, right? As concretized by the Kenyan that they make, you know, that they're ready to accept whatever decision is made. Well, if that's the case, then why on earth would you need three judges? On the other hand, right, so Ravashi's kind of making two assumptions. One assumption is that if you have the Kenyan will be binding, right, that's kind of a binding expression of will, and with it you would not need a court. And at the same time, it seems like if you had a court, you would not require the binding of the Kenyan, right? Because you would have the Yafos Koch Bazin. So now, what changes, right? So the Gemara in the end says, V'helchasa Pshara Tzricha Kenyan. And what does Rashi say?
Afilu Nasi
Kshlut. Right. So what does that tell you?
That you need a Kenyan before, even if you have a Beit Din. Like, it's necessary, even, yeah, when you have a Beit Din.
Right. So before we had that, right, before, when we had the world of, if Pshara is with two people, it needs a Kenyan. And when Pshara is with three people, it doesn't need a Kenyan. The question we've been talking about whether Pshara is part of Din or not, so how would you answer that question if we were assuming that with two you need Kenyan, and with three you don't need Kenyan?
That Pshara, if done in the normal way that we normally do, like Beit Din, then it is part of Beit Din.
Right, and if it's being done with two and a Kenyan,
then it needs a Kenyan because it doesn't have that power.
Right, and because it's not operating through legal principles, it's just operating through the willingness, exactly, the Kenyan system, the gift system, exactly. So now, when assuming Rashi's read of the Gemara, now we're saying that even if you say you need three judges for your Pshara, you're going to require a Kenyan. So what is that going to tell you about Pshara?
It's not completely part of Din. Or it is, but it's not strong enough. It needs this extra reinforcement of the Kenyan.
Yeah, you could go in one of two basic directions, right? You could say, look, you need a Kenyan because, as we were talking about before, Pshara is really not part of Din. And what's making the parties bind to the decision of the Pshara is the Kenyan, right? In other words, their forgiveness, their mechila, right? That's really what's generating the Pshara. And therefore you need a Kenyan, goes without saying. And even if you have three judges, nonetheless, you'll still need a Kenyan. Then we'll have to explain why you would need three judges, right? What are those judges doing for you? Mm-hmm. Conversely, you could say no, right? You have three judges. Pshara is in the realm of Din, and it's being done in a Bezdin, and this is in the Din world. Ah, so why do they need the Kenyan, right? Why do you need the Kenyan if this is part of Din? That's what you're going to have to answer. From Rashi, you could go in either direction.
But how can you possibly go in the second direction, according to Rashi? Why can't we just say that Rashi doesn't think that Pshara... That Rashi does think that... I'm not really...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. Like, I think a possible answer, but I don't think this actually makes sense, is that Kenyan is just an integral part of Pshara, regardless of what that implies about the strength of Pshara, but I don't think that's a good answer. That Pshara is just part of Pshara is Kenyan. Like,
so that's exactly what the Tshuva of the Rashba is going to say. So that's totally a viable answer. That's exactly what he's going to say. So what you would want to do is you would say that the Kenyan for that really Pshara is part of Din. Ah, so why do you need the Kenyan? You need the Kenyan because of some, let's say, technical concern, right? There's some side problem that Pshara happens to have that regular Din doesn't have. That even though Pshara is part of Din, you need the Kenyan just to solve some problems. But it's not because Pshara is fundamentally divided from the world of Din. That's from a bird's eye view how you'd answer the question. Now we got to figure out, let's pin that down. So that's kind of broad issue number one, right? Just what's the Gemara thinking of Havmi? What's the Gemara thinking of the Maskana? And then you'd have this question of, right, the Gemara seems strange. Like, why did Ravashi? We said, okay, so we know what Ravashi seems to be thinking and how he gets rejected. But why does Ravashi get rejected? Right? Like the Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara is not shy about telling you why it's overruling the people who got overruled. But Rav Ashi presented what seemed to be a cogent thesis, and then the Gemara just says, no, right? Halacha is at Pshara Tzricha Kenyan. Okay, so last time we covered Tosfos, right? We spent a while with Tosfos distinguishing between Pshara and regular Mechila. It seemed that Tosfos thought that Pshara was a kind of Mechila, just it's a special Mechila, right? It's a Mechila of Pshara. And they were trying to figure out, they were trying to prove, right, that while Pshara needs a Kenyan, regular Mechila does not. Right, so if somebody owed you money and they waived the debt, you wouldn't require a kinyan to have that happen. And Tosfos basically gave three options for how this could be happening. Right, the more I think about it is like it doesn't give us any details at all. It doesn't tell us when the kinyan is happening. It doesn't tell us who's making this kinyan. It doesn't even tell us what this kinyan is. So Tosos give three basic positions to understand when the Kenyan, when/who is doing the Kenyan, right? Position number one that they gave was that it's being done beforehand, right? That it's just the two parties are agreeing to whatever the court decides. And they explain, right, why do you need to have a Kenyan there? Because, right, you'd have this concern that it was a mistaken agreement, right? When I signed up for Pshara, I never imagined that the judges would so skew it in the opposite direction, right? I thought it would be clear. They would give me, 98% of what I was supposed to get, 97% of what I was supposed to get, and all of a sudden they gave me, 50%. So I never expected that. So because assuming the Pshara, the Kenyan happens beforehand, it's like a mystery, right? You were agreeing to jump in blind. Therefore, specifically in this area of Mechila, you will need a Kenyan. That was option one. Option two they had was that the Kenyan is happening at the end, right? When the judges announce the decision that's been made, right? They say, Reuben, you give Shimon, 80%. So, but they said, who's making that Kenyan? Not the person who's forgiving, right? This is not a Kenyan of Mechila. The person who makes the Kenyan is the person who has to give up the assets, right? The person who has to give up the 80%. It seems like, by the way, that what he makes a Kenyan on is the actual stuff, right? In other words, while he's in court, he has to make a Kenyan on what he has been told to give the other person. If that's the case, then this Kenyan that we're talking about on the Gemara has nothing to do with forgiveness at all. All the Gemara means, very, very simply, is that when you are in the courtroom and the Pshara people tell you, you must give 80%, the 80% of what you were sued for, so right then and there, in the courtroom, you must make a Kenyan to the other person. Let's say you could use the money itself if you had it, or you could use Chalipin as an alternative, to be machna to the other person what you were just told to give them by the court. And this way, right, you can't run out of the court afterwards and say, I changed my mind, I'm not accepting what the court said. It's too late. Well, while we had you in court, you gave over the money. That's their second position. Their third position, they're forced to say this is a possibility because the halachas gedolos had it, was that this mechila, this kenyan is happening, A, after the gemar din, right, after the judges told them what to do, and B, the kenyan is being done by the person who's waiving his rights to, let's say, the 20%. In which case, this really seems like a regular case of mechila, right? What's the difference between someone who, holds a debt and waives it, right, regular mechila, and someone who is suing for money, and the judges are saying to only collect 80%? That seems like it's a cookie, it's exactly a case of mechila. And if that's the case, say Tosfos, well, just like we require Kenyan here, shouldn't we require Kenyan by all cases of Mechila? And there Tosfos said, no, you could still make a difference between Pshara and regular Mechila because normal Mechila is not being done under pressure, right? Normally, when people waive debts, they just do it out of the generosity of their hearts. But what's happening here is that since the judges are pushing for Peshawara, therefore we need to really strengthen his commitment to the forgiveness by making a kinyan on the spot. So it seems clear all around that Tosfos think that Peshawara is working through the Mechila model, right? And that's why there are questions about Peshawara versus Mechila. Why does one need a kinyan, one not need a kinyan? That's why. How do those get off the ground in the first place? But if that's true, if Peshawara is really working through Mechila, then, right, again, when we the Gemara's rejection of Ravashi, we said, at the end of the day, you're going to require for Peshawara both three judges, possibly, and a kinyan. So if we say that Peshawara is all about Mechila, so I understand why you need a kinyan, but why do I need three judges? Right? You're always going to be asking one of those two things because they seem opposites. So the more you go in the direction of emphasizing how central the Mechila aspect is, right, the more you're going to be bothered by whatever seems like din. What's that doing here? The more you emphasize whatever seems like din, the more you'll be bothered by whatever seems like Mechila. That's in here. So if Tosfos are coming down very strongly on the Mechila side, right, then why would you need three judges, right? Why, that's like, was exactly Ravashi's point. So they answered that in the very first line of the Tosfos, right, that an art printed Tosfos is a separate Tosfos, but if you look at the Tosa Rush, it's really the same Tosfos. So they gave you the answer to the question before they even dealt with the main body of the material. Right, and they say v'had lo sagi betray mishum dehave kamel kinyan b'taos delo b'ki b'pshara shapir. Right, it seems like a mistaken kinyan because these people are not experts in pshara. So it's a little bit unclear what they mean. You get a little bit of a taste, of a little different spin from the Tosa Rush, but they could be meaning one of two basic things. One thing that they could mean, this is kind of less interesting, is just that pshara is really hard to pull off, as we talked about. We saw this in the Yad Ramah, right, who talked about Tzedek Terdof, right? Why does Tzedek Terdof refer to Peshawara? And the Yad Ramah said, because Peshawara is much harder than Din, because Din, you just look it up in the rule books. Peshawara, you know, you have to have common sense and realize what's going on, intuition, psychology of the people. So Peshawara is much harder to do. So it could be that you just need a third judge to surmount the technical problems of, make sure that you get your Peshawara right. But just give me 1 second. Let me open to Suresh, because I think in him it was clearer. And again, like the golden rule, if you're ever struggling with the Tosfos, so you always want to look at Tosa Suresh, just because it's, he's much clearer. So the Tosfos HaRash says that you want three so that you have koach beit din delo nehave kekinyan b'taos, right? You want to have the strength, the power of a beis din, so that it is not a kinyan b'taos. So in other words, why do I need a beis din? This is mechila, right? This is pshara as mechila. So why on earth do I need a beis din? So that's the Tosa Rush's exact answer. That since this Mechila is so off the range, right? First of all, you're signing up to a deal that you never knew you were signing up for, right? Second of all, the judges are putting immense pressure on you to agree, as the Rush says later on, because, you know, why is Peshawara Satz Mitzvah? Because they want to have Shalom Ba'olam. So the judges are really pushing you for this Peshawara result. So if it's a mechila that A, I'm signing up to not knowing what it is, B, I'm signing up to under heavy pressure, so not only will you need a kinyan to make that mechila binding, you will also need a beis din to make your mechila binding, right? So that's how you could explain the model of Peshawara as mechila, why it would need a beis din. So the maskana of the Gemara is going to be very nice, right? Rav Ashi thought, look, either I need three judges, or I need a kinyan, right? But it doesn't make any sense to say that I need both. And the answer of Tosfos HaRash is going to be no. Peshawara really is a form of mechila, and that you need the kinyan because it's like a far-out form of mechila. You still need three judges, contra what Rav Ashi thought, because we even need the beis din to strengthen your commitment to this mechila. Okay, so that's what Tosfos have to say. So Tosfos run into some opposition from the Germans, right? The Tosfos here are predominantly French. If you look, this is all the stuff that we've got here. So originally, most people quote it from the Mordechai. The Mordechai, which you have in the back of your Gemara, he was the second to most famous student of the Maharam Rutenberg. The first most famous student of Maharam Rutenberg being...
Something you should all know.
Something you should all know. It's the Rush. The Rush is the most famous student of the Maharam. The Maharam, right, so he gets held hostage. As soon as he dies, so the Rush, who's living in Germany, says... you know, I know what's going to happen next. They're going to arrest me. So he runs to Spain. And that's how the Rush ends up in Spain. And that's how the Tour, who's his son, ends up in Spain. So the second most famous student of the Maharam was the Mordechai, who gets killed like 4 years later in the Rheinfleisch massacres of 1298. So he has a... which... explains why his work is difficult, because it was never properly edited, it's convoluted, his students were heavily involved in the making of it. But in there, they have a whole collection of all, like, tons of German material. Now, with, like, all the stuff that's been put out, we've got a lot of the originals. So you can kind of do better, because rather than get, like, the corrupted or older version that's in the Mordechai, you can go to the source. You can get our nice, our nice scholarly Orza Rua that came out like 5 years ago. You can get your nice footnoted Ravan that came out like 4 years ago. So it saves time on your eyes, and it's also clear. So we're going to look at an Orza Rua, and we're going to look at a Ravan. So it's good to know the history of the people involved here. I'll just write it down just because you'll see. I'm going out of order historically. So Ravan is Elazar Ben Nasan. He is roughly contemporaries with Rabbeinu Tam. He's like a first generation, you would say, Tosafist, right? So he's living in the 1100s. His son-in-law is like they have a power series of generations. His son-in-law is Rabbeinu Yoel Halevi, who we lost all of his stuff, but it's fine because we have a lot of his Torah from his son, Rabbi Elazar ben Yoel, also known as the Ra'av Yah. Right, so you've got grandfather, son-in-law, grandson. And he is one of the most famous German Tosafists, lives in the early 1200s. And his student is Yitzchak of Vienna, also known as the Orza Rua, who we're about to read. And then his student is Maharam, right? And his student is the Rash. Okay, so we just saw the Rash.
I'm gonna read this too.
This
so,
is cool.
It's got the tour. So that's the quick synopsis of the main German people.
Cool.
No, they were all German. The Orza Rua is the first one to go learn in the yeshivas of France, and then the Maharam learns in the yeshivas of France. That's why we have a kina from the Maharam, because, right, Shali Srufa Ba'esh, because he was there for the burning of the Talmud. Mm-hmm. And then the Rush ends up in Spain. That's where he writes all his tshuvot are from Spain. Okay, so we're going to start with the Orza Rua, but just so you can get a sense, right, the Orza Rua is coming from the school of the Ravan. So we're going out of order, because first we're going to treat the Orza Rua, and then we'll see, like, the source that this is all coming from, which is his Rebbe's grandfather, the Ravan.
Rita Rav Eliezer Ben Natan is the Ravan.
Is the Ravan, right, exactly. Okay, so let me just go a second. Which verse is this? Parashash, that's all. Okay, I think it was short, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, right, okay, it's a little bit different. Miumash Peyosh Rashi, that's all right, that's what I said. Was what we would see here? Yeah?
That was a...
Ooh, Peyosh Rashi, that's all. Oh, okay, great. If you have the scan open, so it's Simon Bet over here. And Upeirish Rashi, that's all, is like the last line in that first paragraph. You've got the bold, right? He recaps the Gemara. Behold us a Pshara Tzvicha Kinyin. Upeirish Rashi, that's all, v'afilu nasis b'shlosha. Right, so we've presented the position of Tosos and basically the position of Rashi, right? So just very quickly, they think in the end we seem to have rejected Rav Ashi, and we hold that you need Kenyan always for Pshara, even if you've got three judges. So the Yorzarua references this. The Yorzarua is one of the great quoters among the Rishonim. He's always quoting and quotes accurately. So he says, Per Rashi, that's a filan nasis b'shlosha. So now you got the big bold paragraph here, right? Leferusha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know. Take it.
It's on the source codes.
Do you have the PDF?
I'm like missing. Oh wait,
it's not in there.
Okay, that part. Okay, that's why I'm missing the picture there. Wait, we're heading in.
Or Zerua?
Okay. Wait. Just think of the version we had originally. I lost this page. Oh, right here.
Yeah.
I should begin this for the mice and finish the show. I think that we seem, since we're doing front three, we don't need a kingdom.
So the question is.
So we're saying when we do it in front of three, Pshara front three, we need kingdom. But that's hard to understand because we say that directly from three, you shouldn't need kingdom.
Right. So just why are we abandoning the original svar? Right. The original Ravashi's original position was that if you have three judges, you don't need a kingdom. And then the way Rashi understood the Gemara was we just like chucked that out the window with no explanation. So the Zerua says, well, that's bizarre. Why would we throw out a Svara without giving any reason for it?
Only needs Kinyan in the case we're in front of two. So it comes to exclude Rabbi Ashi, we want to say that the trade Bishar will by Ikinin in front of two does not need Kinin. Elam Vada, for certain, the trade by Ikinin in Tunis Kinin, Vada, Beina, Lamada, Amma, Klaus of Bishar. And here's what we're going to say about what it says to be by Bishar, but Laki Hefe, the load, Libai Kinin, Elam Shun, the Mekish Bishar, the Din. It's not because, not because it inherently does need Kinyan, but because it's sort of because it's connected to Din. Because this connects Shard to Din when you have three. But Bishnayim, by Shayim, we need it. Bishar Shalom, by Kinyan, Kisvar, Kamai, Savashi. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi's understanding that it's connected to Din, we would not need Kinyan to buy Shalosha.
Right. So what's he saying?
he seems to be saying that we sort of hold like Rav Ashi at the same time we sort of don't. I mean, we don't hold like Rav Ashi in the case of Shnayim, where Rav Ashi wants to say we would not need Kinyan. We don't hold like Rav Ashi in the case of Shlosha, where we, when we say that we don't need Kinyan because of the hekesh between Shor and Din.
Shower time?
I'm spacing out. So he was saying, seemingly, that we sort of don't hold like Rav Ashi, but we also do hold like Rav Ashi. We're not completely throwing Rav Ashi away. We're saying, like Rav Ashi, that by Shlosha we don't need Kinyan, because it's sort of like that. But by Shnayim we wouldn't need Kinyan, because there's no reason that you would say it's like that.
Exactly. What we are rejecting part of Rav Ashi, right? Rav Ashi, what was Rav Ashi's original claim? Never, exactly,
yeah.
Right? And how? What's his proof that Pshara never needs a Kenyan?
That it's a possibility.
Because then you wouldn't need
three.
Right. So since the position that Pshara needs three obviously thinks that Pshara doesn't need a Kenyan, must be that also the positions that Pshara needs two or one also think that Pshara doesn't need a Kenyan. Okay. Now, Rashi took the Gemara's conclusion to go in which direction?
Against Rashi.
Right, exactly. That, you know, everyone needs a Kenyan, one, two, and three. The Orza Rua is saying the other way around. No, right? We reject Rav Ashi, but not because we think that all Pshara needs Kenyan, but Rav Ashi came in with the idea that it doesn't make a difference whether you think Pshara needs one, two, or three judges. So if Pshara of three judges doesn't need Pshara, must be, thought Rav Ashi, that Pshara of one or two judges doesn't need a Kenyan either. And so the Or Zerua says the Gemara's response to that is no, right? The number of judges you have in the Pshara process is what will determine whether this needs a Kenyan or not. And that's going to be a really appealing idea, because if you say you need three judges, so the Or Zerua even said explicitly, I think, right? That if you need three judges for Pshara, where do you get the number three for your Pshara from?
Din,
exactly. Makshinan Pshara la Din. Well, guess what? If you're Makshinan Pshara la Din, and therefore you think you need three judges, well, what don't you need? Kenyan, because we're dealing with Din. Din needs three. Din doesn't need Kenyan. And so everything's going to be great. As opposed to if you need one or two judges, so then we're not dealing with a Din model, we're dealing with a Pshara model, right? And so that's going to require one or two. So if you are, so really the question that this boils down to is the Machlokas and the Gemara, are we Makshinan Pshara the Din or not, right? Do we compare Pshara to Din or do we not? That argues Yoraz Arua will have two Nafkamina. Nafkamina number one, how many judges do you need? Nafkamina number two, do you need a Kenyan, right? If we're comparing it to Din, you'll need three judges, you won't need a Kenyan. If we don't compare it to Din, you can live with, you know, maybe one or two judges, but you will need a Kenyan, right? And yours are Rua's textual evidence is the fact that, again, right, the way Rashi and Tosfos read the Gemara never explained why it's rejecting Rav Ashi. Good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everyone hold by the connection between Din and Shara by three?
Well, that had been a line in the Gemara, right? The Gemara had said, exactly. A little earlier on the page. Lema Ketanai, Bitsua Beshlosha Dir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir thinks that Pshara needs three. Vacham Omrim Pshara Biyachet. So, right, the Pshara needs one. So, Avrua de Kulyama Makshinim Pshara Ladin. We thought to say everybody compares Pshara to Din. My love, Makamifligi, Demar Savar Din Beshlosha, Mar Savar Din Beshnayim. Right, this is Machlokas whether Din needs three or two. We say, Lo, de Kulyama Din Beshlosha. Vacham, Makamifligi, Demar Savar Makshinim Pshara Ladin, Mar Savar Lo Makshinim Pshara Ladin. Right, and so everyone agrees that Din needs three. The question is, do we compare Din to Pshara or not? Okay, fine. So that's the Or Zerua. And now we can look at the Ravan, right? Who again? We're just going up the chain here. So the Ravan is going to give us an idea of what was going on in the the German butte measures, some discussion. Sorry, I forgot my notes.
Okay,
so we're looking at the Ravan. We'll start with page one. Yeah, the last paragraph on page one. Avah hamochel aydei pashranim. So this is it's kind of interesting that some of the Rishonim keep on using this word pashranim. Right, all of a sudden the judges of Pshara are called pashranim, and you'd want to know, like, is there anything to that? Like, are they the judges of Pshara? Nothing to it. Or does the fact that we have a whole new term for these Pshara judges indicate a whole different legal status, right? That these aren't Dayanim, they're Pashranim. And in fact, that is exactly what the Orza the Ravan is going to get into in a little bit. But first, the Ravan is going to deal with a question that we saw Tosis deal with, right? Which was, why do you need this Kenyan? So Tosis had said, you need this Kenyan because the person can claim Tos. So I want to see this part of the Ravan because he gives two different proposals, right? So Aval Hamocha Aidei Pashranim. So Vadai Tzarech Kenyan Shelo Yitbe'enu. Oh, you definitely need a Kenyan so that the plaintiff does not sue him anymore. The Ilav Hachi, if you didn't have the Kenyan, Matzi Amar, what could the plaintiff say? Mishate Hayisi Bachem, I was just joking with you. Right, you guys are putting me under a lot of pressure to do machila. I couldn't get these judges off my back. I never meant it, right? I only said it. I was just joking. I was just kidding. They were pushing me to say a pshara, so I said, okay, fine, I'll do a pshara. But I never really meant it. That's reason number one he gives. Reason number two he gives, inami, and tell me what you think of this, im psharahu, if this is a case of pshara, matzi amar, ani amarti bilibi, lekabel miyad mashenitan, vehamosar atbeenu bevezden, that I thought to myself, when I accepted the pshara, so I thought, I will accept whatever is given to me in the pshara, and whatever is not given to me in the Pshara, I will run to Bezdin to sue for. Diha, lav, bevezdin anan hashta, right? Kaiminen, we are not sitting in Bezdin. V'uchal od litov o hamosar al pi Bezdin, right? Since we're not in a court, we are only in a Pshara. So I thought I would just, cross my fingers behind my back when I agreed to the Pshara, and then I would run over to Bezdin. So, just very simply, what do you see from the Ravan right here about his perspective on Pshara?
That's not Dean.
Clearly not Dean, right?
Or is it that the person who... Yeah.
At least in a pre-Kenyan world, right? At least in a pre-Kenyan world, this is definitely not Dean. Seemingly. Right, from the first answer, you could have said that it is. Right, the first answer, the Mashata Yisi Bachem, that could have been like a technical out, right? Well, I said it, but I never really meant it. You were putting pressure on me. I was just joking. The claim of Mashata Nibach, you do see that show up sometimes in Halacha. But definitely from the second answer, he says, look, you guys have no binding force. This is not a court. This is not a Bezdin. This is a Pshara, right? Im Psharahu, he could say that I just accepted this with intent to go back on it.
It can't be that person is mistaken in undermining the Kalahana.
Well, if he was, then we wouldn't have him do a Kenyan. We would tell him...
Because we wouldn't be able to do anything afterwards.
Right, exactly. Right, and therefore he says, right in the next page, Hilkach tzarach Kenyan shlo yitvenu o. Right, therefore he needs a Kenyan so that he cannot sue. The alzeh pasku chachamim pshara tzricha Kenyan. Okay, now what's the next line he has, right? Why don't you have to have a Kenyan in Bezdin, right? In regular din cases, why don't you need to ever have this Kenyan? So he says, Right? You can't say, I was just joking when you're in court. Why? De'ein ad mishata bevezdin lomar l'chosam niskavanti. De alpid varav hunidon hein lizkos hein l'chova. So it's interesting. The Rabban kind of gives a technical explanation as to why this mishata need doesn't work in court. Because he says, look, when you're sitting in the court, and they got the court stenographer there, and the whole official proceedings and everything, nobody's telling jokes to the judges. Because you know that whatever you say will determine your fate. So you're going to be completely serious. I would have thought they just, you could say that it's just not an allowable claim, right? You can't make the claim in Bezdin of I was just joking, but the Rabban is giving an explanation for that. And what about the claim of I'm going to go back and sue for more? So you can't do that either, right? Begamin yachalomar erzor ve'egve hamosar bevezdin acher tekeven sheyatsa zakai bezdin zeh shuv enis kaken lo bezdin acher, right? Once someone was acquitted in one court, just like in American law, once you've been acquitted in one court, you can't go to to another court. Actually, not like American law. Hilkach mechil, what? Yeah, some things you can appeal, some things you can't. But, right, for sure, by and large, there's no concept of appeal in halacha. Right, there's an article about it that I have to read, but haven't gotten around to yet. So we say, Hilkach mechila gemurehi velo ba'i kinyan. Oh, what's this last line? What's that last line he had? Time out.
Mechila gemura.
It's not, he doesn't agree with Tosfot.
Yes.
Tosfot doesn't think it's mechila gemura. He thinks it's this.
Right, so what? So the Ravan is actually, you don't really realize this, but then all of a sudden you see this line.
Any type of mechila.
So, but, he's saying if it's in court, it's a mechila, but gemura, and there's no opinion?
That's
weird.
So what you're saying?
Tafka, when it's in court, it's like a normal mechila, which isn't the typical mechila we have, isn't by that, right?
Mechila
is generally
from din.
Yeah. Mechila is separate from din.
So it's
he's
weird
saying that
right
only
here,
when it's in din, is it mechila?
So
he never uses lashon b'shara when discussing within the beis din. Sometimes it's avol b'beis din.
That is true. If you're from just this passage, it's hard to figure out what exactly is going on. Do they have any footnotes on this? They do, but they're not very helpful. Which is fine because we just need to read more in the Ravan. Okay. So let's just skip. Right. Basically, the Ravan's not being fair because the Ravan is talking, assuming his final position, but he doesn't explicate his final position until the next column. So then he goes on, where he quotes a bunch of Gaonim, and what was the next? I gave you like a little chunk to see, right? Like the second chunk I gave you was short. That started Almod Bibshar Deshloba Bezdin. Yeah, so.
Where is it?
So it's right after this footnote, this Shin Pei footnote on the next column, right? Alma, I think I made a typo when I said Alma Bepesher, and I meant Alma Bepshara.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No.
We still
figured it out. Okay, good. So Alma Bepshara Bishalo Bevezdin Taimi Veikla Meimar. What's this word stand for? Taima, right, okay, fine. The Taima Mishum, the Kevad lo Hiskukuladin, lo Alimi Lafkui Mona below Kenyan. Alok Sheskukulagin, Mitchila, Lake, etc., etc., etc. Okay, fine. In other words, position we've got here, right? One opinion that's being proposed is that when you are in a Bezdin, you do not need a Kenyan for your Pshara, right? If you go to a regular Bezdin and they're doing your Pshara, it will not require a Kenyan. However, if you're going to three people who are just your doing your pshara, right, who are just your pashranim, then you will need a kenyan. you guys know what I mean?
one more time, I'm sorry.
You could have two different cases of three people. You could have three people who are a court, and you could have three people who are pashranim. If the three people who are doing your pshara are a bezdin, then you're not going to need a kenyan.
Yeah, okay.
However, if the three people who are doing your pshara are pashranim, right, they're not an official bezdin, then you will need the kenyan, because then you're going to need the full acceptance for the mechila. That's one proposal. That's
sure. So would that would mean that you need mumfin for pshara and
In other words, what's the difference between pashranim and dayanim?
Yeah.
No, you'd say for example, if you have the bezdin of the town, right? B'shlichusai, who were allowed to force people to come to, you know, the licensed judges can force people to come to court, right? If you sue in Bezdin, so the Bezdin, and you don't show up, they'll send a seira, right? So even though we don't have mumchen, we do have bate din.
What if you appoint three people to do pshara for you? Are they pashranim or beitim? If you actually
do they
appoint
them
typically
as
And this isn't clear, but probably you get three people together and you say, you know, we want you to be to adjudicate our pshar.
Or we want you to be a beit. What if you say we want you to be a beitim?
It's a critical question.
A...
Right, exactly. Do they have the status of a bezdin or not? So one position here is that there's a real distinction between the two. If you just think about it, like in a common sense, there's a difference between an arbitration panel and a court of law, right? The court could paskin, a split, but you're not going to arbitration; you're going to court. So those just are two different judicial bodies, right? Okay. So now let's just get to this. Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, who this is exactly what the Ravan's final position was, I think. You guys see it? It's the last paragraph on the page of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam. Right. So again, right now the Ravan is operating under the assumption that if you are in a bezdin, you will not need a kinyan. If you are in a pshara bezdin, you will need a kinyan. And he says, "Aval Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam Zatzal Chilek B'Tshuva Shalo, Afilu B'Pshara Al Yedei Pashranim." Right? Even a pshara that's being done by the Pashranim will also require a kenyan. Will not require a kenyan. V'Ka'amar De Al Yedei Shlosha Lo By A Kenyan. V'Zoya Shela. Right? Here's the case. Shnayim Shabo Ledin V'Nispashu B'Mayma Tove Ha'ir. So Tove Ha'ir. You have these people come up all the time. These are like the leaders of the town, right? You've got the seven Tovei Ha'ir. Seems to have been the classic old style kind of communal organization. It was under the seven leaders of the city, the Tovei Ha'ir, and they kind of substitute in for a bezdin. They're often treated in that way. So if you have two people who came and they did a pshara with the Tovei Ha'ir, the kanu zelazeh, right? So and they did a kenyan. So the question was, right? Could one of the two parties go back on the pshara that they made with the kinyan in front of those Tovei Ha'ir? Beheshiv harav kach, right, on the last page. Here was a response of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam. Kach nearly, the ein la'acher kinyan klum, right? After the kinyan, you can do nothing. V'ein yachol levatlo, the kaimelon kerv Yosef to Amar, kolzman shasukin ba'oso inyan. V'afilu kilo kanu minei nami kibud m'shlosha havi mechila leisba chazara. Right, so the important line is right here, right? Afilu kilo kanu minei, even without a kinyan, kibud the m'shlosha havi mechila leisba chazara. Right, with three, you have a binding mechila. Dechi amar rabbanan pshara tzricha kinyan, hani bili b'fnei shnayim, de lo afki alimi lafkuim mamona below kinyan. Aval shlosha alimi de kibezdin ninhu v'kolshkin hacha de maimet tovei ha'ir. Okay, so basically,
why did he ask the question in the first place? I thought was the day in the Gemara that, who was it? Yafakol, Shar of the Kalafdin, was that not accepted by everyone?
You're asking what was the guy who wrote the question thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who wrote the question was just some guy who was hoping to get lucky.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Oh, he was doomed to get blown out of the water.
But the question doesn't really make sense though.
The question makes no sense.
Okay.
The question, but that's okay. I mean, it's just a real life question, right? Rabbi, I made a pshara. I made a kinyan, but then I didn't like the decision that they had. So can I go back on it?
Even though we already know that you can't go back because.
Yeah.
He didn't know that you can't go. I mean, like, okay.
Right. The whole point of the Kenyan is that you can't go back. This guy didn't know that. So Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam says, like, okay, first of all, you made a Kenyan, so you can't go back. Right. The first thing he said was that once the discussion is over, right, once you made the Kenyan, the case is finished, you can't go back and undo that. That everybody knows. And then he says, and furthermore, since it was with these Tovei Ha'ir, who he thinks are even better than a Bezdin, you don't even need a Kenyan, because their power is binding for the Mechila. So I want to zero in on one thing he says, but just in one second. Because let's just map out the options, right? Because this could totally get confusing, because personally I'm a little bit confused. So we've got two issues, right? Does Pshara need the Kenyan, and do you need the three? Let's go for Gimel. Yeah, exactly. Do you need your Gimel Dayanim? Right. And how many positions do we have? So we have the position of Rav Ashi, we have the position of Tosfos, we have the position of
Rashi,
the Or Zarua, I would put Rashi with Tosfos because they seem to be basically on the same side. Or Zerua and Rava. And for Ravan, let's say and Ravan had two answers, right? Ravan one, and then Rav Yosef Tov Elam. Oh, it's a lot of people. Yosef Tov Elam there. Okay, so what did Rav Ashi think? Let's fill these all in. Just get it straight.
Shara never needs a Kenyan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ina Tzricha Kenyan. And what was his proof?
That if someone says that there needs to be three, then we don't need a Kenyan because then I would have the power of being
right. All psharas are created equal, right? The positions that say one, two, or three judges. So if the position that you need three obviously thinks you don't need a Kenyan, therefore positions that one and two also don't think you need a Kenyan. Okay. What was the position of Tosfos?
You always need a Kenyan.
Always need a Kenyan.
Even if you have three.
Right. And why do they say you always need a Kenyan?
Because it's a specific form of mechila that needs a Kenyan.
Right. Right, either because you're going in blind on the mechila if the mechila is before the Gemara Din, or because you're being put under heavy pressure to agree to the pshara if the Kenyan is after the Gemara Din. But either way, pshara is like an extreme mechila and therefore needs a Kenyan. According to Tosfos, what about judges? If you've got three judges, why do you need a Kenyan or not?
You do.
You do. Why is that?
Because you could think that it's still a mechila, and it's still a weird mechila. So
it's still
mechila. Oh, also, like, you could think that it's a tamud because the judges are coercing you to do it.
Exactly.
So you still need
exactly.
a union for it to hold.
Bilal. There are two reasons, right? One, because Peshawar is just so hard to do, and two, because exactly, like, the more fundamental one is you need your three judges to give you the koach of Beis Din. Again, because this Peshawar is such a radical machila. That's where everything is coming from, according to Tosfos. Radical machila, therefore it needs a kinyan to commit, therefore you need a Beis Din to commit. Okay. Then, what do the Orzarua have to say?
Three, no, two, yes.
Exactly. Gimel, Eina Tzricha Kinyan, Bet, Tzricha Kinyan. And so what happened to Ravashi, right? So we partially accept Ravashi, right? Ravashi just thought that all Psharas are created equal. It turns out, it could be that there are two models of Pshara, right? Two Psharas. You have your din pshara, which has a Beis Din, and you have your mechila pshara, which has a kinyan and has two judges, right? Mm-hmm. That's the Orz Aruah. Then the Ravan gave us two possible distinctions, right? The first distinction he had was between bet and gimel pashranim. Put those under quotes. Right? Versus three dayanim. Right? And then what was his second distinction? The distinction of Yosef Tovelim?
Two
behayir.
Whether it's in front of two behayir or...
Exactly. Right. So it doesn't need... The point is, you don't need to be an actual court. You just need to be a court in potential. So you could be the Tovei Ha'ir, who are three plus. You could be the three Pashranim. The point is that you just need to have potential court. And for that, right, why would even a potential court not need a kinyan? So we point out, right, for both of those, the Ravan had been committed to mechila, but what did he throws in kind of a new wrinkle, right? Delo alimi leafkuui mamona below kinyan. They are not strong enough to, right, to take out your money without a kinyan. If you've got three people, then what can three people do? What can a bezin do to be mafkia mamon, to take away money? Hafker bezin hafker, exactly. That's a new wrinkle to throw into this whole discussion. So if you have, right, this is like the artillery in your back pocket. If we always had the potential to deploy a hafker bezin hafker, so then, right, we that gives our pshara a more binding quality to it. Now here also, you could say one of two things. You could say that since at any rate we have the authority to hefker bez and hefker you, therefore when you make a mechila, you really agree to give up the money, because right, it's like lahavdil, yeah. If someone's mugging you, so they don't need to pull out the gun to make you give up the money, right? You know they have the gun, therefore you give it up willingly. So since you know they could at any rate be hefker bez and hefker you, therefore what you are doing is a real mechila independent of any kinyan. That seems to be what the Ravan here is saying, because the Ravan here is calling this a mechila, right? You see the word mechila here. And yet he's raising the specter of hefker bez and hefker. So the idea seems to be, since they could hefker bez and hefker you, therefore when you make your mechila, you're really committing. You weren't just joking, you weren't having in mind something else, you were committed. The other thing you could say, and this was, it's a line in the Tosfos Harash, is that, no, if you have three people, so how does Pshara work if you've got three judges without a kinyan? It's hefker bez and hefker, right? Yeah, halachically, maybe fundamentally, you don't actually, you should be getting 100%, not 80%. How is that acceptable? Through Hefker Beis Din Hefker, right? The Beis Din has substantial latitude in monetary affairs, and if they've got three, they don't need your mechila, they don't need your commitment. They can just say, we're giving a psak, 80% to you, 20% to you. If you got any problems with that, sorry, Charlie, Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, and the game is over. Okay. It's 9:12. The last, we can grab it in. The last source is the Tshuva of the Rashba. Mm-hmm. And the Tshuva of the Rashba had no, he didn't have any of this stuff, right? All these distinctions that the various German Tosafim are making between 2 versus 3, a potential court, a Pashrun court, Tovi Ha'ir, right? What did the Rashba have to say? So the Rashba was asked, right, wait a second, right, you remember what the question was asked the Rashba was? It was a pretty compelling question.
Was that the
Yefek
Alp Sharmakov being so
doesn't it mean that Dame is stronger? Is that the question? If you go back, if you can do Chazar and Din, you can do Chazar and Bshara, doesn't that mean that Dame is stronger? No, was it the opposite?
Nayim Sadanu, you can do Chazara.
Right.
But Shlosha, then you can't. But with Bshara, if 2 or 3 do it, you still can't do Chazara, doesn't that mean?
Right. So the
if there's no kinyan, then Pshara loses all its strength.
Exactly. The Gemara had said, wow, Pshara is stronger than Din, because Pshara you can do 2, and Din needs 3. But then the Gemara said that Pshara with 2 needs a kinyan.
So it's not that
strong. Right, and guess what? If your Din had a kinyan, right, if you accepted upon yourselves the kinyan to be adjudicated by 2 judges, it would also work. So Gemara doesn't make any sense, right? All the Gemara is saying is that the apple, you know, the apples are stronger than the oranges. Well, no, they're apples and oranges, right? And in fact, if you made them equivalent, then one would not be stronger than the other. So that's what the Rashba's about. Now, the answer to the Rashba's question, actually, Rashba couldn't have given this answer. But what does the Rashba answer? He says, yeah, that's just what Pshara is, right? Pshara, by definition, is something that's done with a kinyan. We never heard of a Pshara that's not done with a kinyan. So you can't ask me, like, hypotheticals about, you know, Pshara with a kinyan or Pshara without a kinyan. Pshara means it has a kinyan. So when the Gemara said Pshara is better than Din, it meant Pshara with kinyan is better than Din without kinyan, because that's just part and parcel of the Pshara. Doesn't matter if you have 2 judges, doesn't matter if you have 3 judges, right? Because the Rashba says, in fact, really you could say that Koach HaDin is also better than Koach HaPshara, because after all, Pshara always needs a Kenyan, even with 3 judges, and Din does not. So from the Rashba, it's clear that having a Kenyan is part and parcel of the Pshara process.
Came up with that. Well, oh yeah, and we had read it.
Yeah.
On Monday.
It's a good
answer. Mm-hmm. But now, okay, so Lira, now the question though is,
I also thought you came up with it, so
here's the last question, is why would that be? Why would you say that a Kenyan is part and parcel of the Pshara process?
That's why I didn't think that was such a good answer. Because
even in cases of 3, you need a kinyan.
Yeah, but why?
So. Why, though?
Not like how.
Oh, fine.
We're stipulating, right? The definition, you look up Pshara in the dictionary, and the definition is a compromise done with a kinyan performed by the litigants. Always, regardless of the number of judges. It's just baked into the definition.
Even though then you'd say, but if it were really part of Din, then it would have that to begin with. What do you mean to that?
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not sure. You could say exactly, because it needs the extra. You could say, look, Pshara really is a machila, and so it's just absurd to talk about a Pshara without a kinyan, because all this is machila. The other thing maybe you could say is that really Pshara is Din, but like, how can Pshara function as Din without any buy-in from the parties, right? How can you know, you're getting to like In other words, in order for Pshara to be on the books as part of Din, you have to have the agreement of the parties on the books, right? Part of the laws, the formal laws of Pshara, in order for Pshara to be a formal, you know, Din process, are that the Pshara will require, halachically, a Kenyan, right? And once we halachically demand buy-in of the parties, we're not demanding buy-in of the parties so that they agree to the compromise. We're demanding buy-in of the parties so that you could have this halacha of Pshara. Skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems easier to say that Gemara is talking about when it's three versus three.
What?
That it's that the ifakal pshara and kalafdin is only referring to when it's an equal thing. When you have three judges doing pshara versus three judges doing deen. Because then... when you're not holding like Rashi or Tosfot, when you're holding like there was a Ruach.
Right. The problem, though, is that you know, there's even according to them, what they're saved from the reverse, right? Because you, according to let's say Rashi and Tosfos, you could say not only does the Gemara not make sense, but really we should say Yafe Koach Adin Mikoach Pshara, because even if you have three judges, Pshara will require a Kenyan and Din will not.
Yes, yeah, so the Gemara doesn't make sense.
So, exactly. So the Ravan and the Or Zeruah are inoculated from the opposite Kasha, the opposite of the Gemara's question. They still can't explain how the Gemara's, or they still don't clearly explain how the Gemara's actual line makes sense.
Well, why doesn't it make sense?
Because if you have two, they agree that you need a Kenyan.
So I'm saying... Where is this again?
The Yafekach Apsharmikach Hadin. It's on the bottom of Hey. Hey, my bad. Right?
Never mind. Yeah, sorry.
I was just
misremembering it completely. Forgot the Shnayim part.
Okay. Now, by the way, this will close. The other solution you could have to the Rashba's question, right, of how does the Gemara make any sense, is to say that, well, when the Gemara was talking about the strength of Din versus the strength of Pshara, it wasn't talking about which one is more powerful than the other. When it said Yafa Kach Pshara Kach Din, it meant which one's better, right? Which one do we value more?
But
we still say, the Gemara's answer to how is one of power.
Yeah, this gets into too much, but
they made it that I don't know.
So if you just take because yeah, you definitely need to figure out how you work that into the rest. But just take literally 1 minute just to look at the Rambam in Parak Chaf Beis in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And just from the way, just from his presentation, I think you can clearly see how he understands the Gemara. Right, he talks about Pshara and Helchos Dalad through Vav.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has some very flowery language on Lacha Dalad, right? Mitzvah to start with Pshara. Any Bezdin that does Pshara all the time, Harei Zeh Meshubach, we say that they do Mishpat and Shalom. David, right? David, who's one of the Rambam's all stars, did Pshara. Had a really flowery halacha and halacha dalet. And then, right, halacha vav, yafekach pshara mikach adin. So when he's saying that, the last thing he tells you about pshara is yafekach pshara mikach adin, sheshnei had yoto shedanu ein dinei hendin, the yishvali din and lachzor behen, masu pshara, etc., etc. The Rambam very clear, at least it seems to me, it's clear, the Rambam is not only interested in telling you that halacha in and of itself, in halacha vav, right? That halacha is his last, it's his closing line, it's his drop the mic moment on Pshara. And it's telling you more than meets the eye, right? It's telling you Pshara is better. I think it's clear, that's what the Rambam thinks.
And part of it being better is that it's stronger, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, fine, but...
In other words, possibly because, for the same reason it's better, is the reason it's stronger, right? In other words, the bindingness of the shalom is why it's better, And the bindingness of the shalom is why two people who commit to it can't go back, but the two people who are competing and contending in din could go back. Okay. Yishkach, guys. Thank you.